Holiday magic is in the air at iFly Indoor Skydiving. Imagine unwrapping the experience of flight. iFly is the perfect unique gift for anyone who wants to turn their dream of flying into a joyful reality. It's unforgettable fun for all ages. Save over 35% with iFly's limited-time holiday gift voucher flight packages. Turn dreams into unforgettable moments with the gift of flight. Go to iFlyWorld.com to purchase your holiday gift vouchers. That's iFlyWorld.com.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Gravity Podcast, where we host conversations on developing a Christian spirituality rooted in love that fosters resilient faith in everyday life.
We are under construction here at the Gravity Commons Podcast.
Or we just adopted a little woodpecker as our mascot.
Or,
yep, there's Ben another or
has been replaced with Bob the Builder.
Yep, Bob the Builder. Or I've got a sewing machine.
It does like a sewing machine. What's going on over there, Ben?
Well, I just thought I'd do a little light construction during this podcast. Try to multitask a little bit. Mm-hmm. No, today is the day that we decided to record. We got some time to record. And it's also the day that the fence crew that we hired to come and make a minor repair on our fence is outside my window doing it. So anyway, I'm going to try to mute when I'm not talking, just so that our listeners don't have to endure the same noise as I will have to endure.
Yeah, I think Christy and I appreciate that too, Ben.
Yeah, thanks. I'm a very self-sacrificial person. I hope everybody understands this.
And everybody does now.
Yes!
Everybody does now.
Mission accomplished!
Well, hey, we wanted to chat today a little bit about some stuff that we're doing in the Gravity Commons community, giving kind of an update basically on one of the offerings we have for premium members, and that is our book club, which I don't know if you've ever been a part of a book club before, Christy. Have you?
I have. And honestly,
tell us about it. Where was it?
I've been a part of good ones. Actually, I was invited to one I said no to because I didn't think it was a good one. And then I was a part of a good one.
Okay, so you got invited to one that you're like,
I was like, I don't think so, people. Because sometimes, sometimes book clubs are sketch, and you're like, yeah, I ain't going to be a part of that. So you're going to have to tell our listeners who are not a part of this book club why it's great, because it is a good book club.
Can we, before we get onto that, Christy, I'm actually really curious, what was so sketchy about this book club?
Honestly,
are you free to share?
Well, yeah. It was the people who invited me to it.
Yes.
I was like, I don't know. I don't feel like they're trustworthy. I don't feel like, I don't know. They just felt like I couldn't be myself. And it felt a little bit stuffy. And the books that they were going to read, I wasn't really interested in. And then I didn't feel the freedom to actually say the books I wanted to read because I felt judged. So before I even started, I just said no.
Yes.
I think that's good boundaries, Christy, based on all that. Yeah.
It does sound like good boundaries. I do think there's, I think you point out an important part of a book club that makes it go well, which is that you trust the people and you like the people and you want to spend time with the people.
Yeah.
Right? So one of the things that is kind of weird or gross about book clubs is that you've got a leader who maybe just needs a bunch of people looking at them so they can talk a lot, right? Or there are really opinionated people who are pretty rigid, or we read this book and then we complain about people that aren't there, or whatever, right? So there can be all kinds of toxic ways to do that. But yeah, I think who you read a book with is as important as what book you're reading.
That's right. And how you discuss it.
Yeah. So this, how you discuss it, I think that's important. I remember back in 2019, Y'all remember back then?
Oh, man.
It's a while back.
Those were the days.
Go in the Wayback Machine.
I feel like, was that really a year?
It was. We really had a year like, then.
Can we really know anything anymore? Was that really? Anyway.
I threw up like a Facebook post where I was just looking at the books I was reading. If you've been to my house, you know that I've got a stack of books next to my reading area in the morning, and I almost said polyamorous in my reading, but like I think that probably would be offensive to people who are polyamorous and to people who aren't. I have a lot of books at any given time that I'm liking, okay? And I like to dip in and out of books a lot. And so I just like kind of threw up a list of books I was reading. And I was like, as I typed them out, I said in my Facebook post, I said, and I did this, like, I realized this in the, and I realized this as I did it. And then I was like, okay, I'll make a joke about it. And I was like, I just am realizing that I have a lot of, like, I'm reading a lot of books by white people. And most of these are with white men. Does anybody have any suggestions on how I can diversify my reading list, right? I was unprepared for the close to 400 comments I got on that post, which was incredible, right? And a lot of Facebook posts or social media posts, they go away after 12 hours, 24 hours. People move on, right? People were commenting and dialoguing on this post for weeks. And what ended up coming out of that was a group of people like myself who were like, all these book suggestions are amazing. And then other people being like, you know what, you should read some of them. And we were like, okay, well, maybe we will. And so then a group of us, including our friend Peter, Ben, put a reading list of primarily non-white and many non-male authors. And we called it Reading for the Sake of Others. And we got way too ambitious with it, by the way. But we read like 20 books that year in this awesome little group. And that was an incredible, it was like, we're going to read these books that we wouldn't have read otherwise, but people recommended them to us. And we're going to read them and we're going to interact with them. And then after that, anyway, there's another book club I wasn't part of, but that, like, I think that book club changed my life. I intentionally put myself in the way of perspectives I wouldn't commonly listen to or be in the way of, and it changed my life. So that's where the idea came from.
And so now you're part of a book club with Gravity Commons friends.
Yeah. So we have this little community, this Gravity Commons community that is developing and forming. And really, it's a lot of, and I mean, listener, there are people like us, there are people who've been Christians for a long time, or maybe looking for new ways of practicing being a Christian, looking for communities where they feel safe and seen and known, where they don't have to sort of like, yeah, that where people take love seriously, right? And people treat each other with kindness and gentleness and patience and all kinds of fruit of the Spirit. And so Ben and I are like, we should find some fun stuff to do with these people, right? How will we, what kind of things do we want to do together? And one of the ideas we had was a book club. And so we came up with a really, really fancy branded name for it called Book Club.
I think it was the Gravity Book Club. So we did, okay. You know, yeah. Book Club.
Yeah, we threw some dazzle on it, is what you're saying.
Yeah. Actually, this is a good point. I do feel like one of our downfalls as an organization, Matt, you know, it's we're not a huge organization, but one of our downfalls as an organization is that we do try to get a little too clever sometimes with the way that we name things. I think this was a win. Gravity Book Club.
Yes, anti-clutter.
What is it? What is it? It's the book club. And who does it? Gravity.
Yes.
Nailed it.
Perfect. Right.
Yeah. Just like we nailed it.
Just like that's Ben's jackhammer we can all hear in the background. Yep.
And so it meets on Fridays during your lunch hour?
Yeah. So we're meeting right now. This time we're meeting Fridays, 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. Over a lunch hour for Eastern folks, maybe you can take an early lunch Central, and then for our Mountain Time folks, I see you, Chris.
Coffee.
Yep. Or Pacific Time people, it can be a coffee time. And I get that that doesn't work for everybody. Some of us work during the day. Ben and I have, I think, more margin in the middle of our days to do stuff than we do in the evenings. So that it's really just it's a product of our own schedules and our own rhythms that we have at that time. But we've been reading a book called The Kingdom and the Power and the Glory by Tim Alberta. Christy, have you heard of this book?
I sure have. I heard about it outside of the Gravity Book Club.
Oh, what do you know about it?
Not a lot, which, you know, I'm not part of the book club because because I have six kids and a full-time job and this is my hobby. But actually some friends of mine read it. And so that's where I first heard about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's for listener, if you're unfamiliar with the book, it's follows Tim Alberta, who's a white evangelical, who is, he also writes for The Atlantic and he's a journalist. And he essentially is writing during Trump's first presidency and right around the election of 2020, I think, and a little after that election. Ben, help me with the dates if you remember. But he's essentially going around to churches and trying to figure out, where did MAGA come from? How did MAGA happen? And so he's interviewing, he's going on, you know, all these big Save America freedom rallies that Christians are doing that are like MAGA, pro-MAGA, and he's interviewing people there. And he's going to other Christians, people like Brian Zond, who we've had on the podcast, talking to people like Russell Moore, who famously left the Southern Baptist Convention and now is the runs Christianity Today. But he left the SBC primarily because of his opposition to Christian nationalism. Guys like David French, who's another conservative Christian political commentator, author, who has paid a large price in the public square for being decidedly anti-MAGA. Yeah. So he's trying to figure out, like, what is going on? How did this happen? And he's writing as a pastor's kid whose dad had a church that he was a part of growing up. And that church has, in many ways, embodied some of this MAGA thing that he can't quite understand. So we chose this book because it got a lot of good press. It's really well written. It's very accessible. It's like a memoir, travelogue, kind of interview style format. Chapters are short, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it really, I think the questions that Tim is wrestling with, how did this happen? How do we make sense of this? Are a lot of the questions that our commons community has themselves, right?
We'll be right back.
The Gravity Podcast is sponsored by the Gravity Formation Course, a 12-month cohort-based training in practical spiritual formation, where you'll learn to notice how God is already at work in your life so you can participate more fully in the life God shares with us. It's a discipleship process that goes beyond just gaining more knowledge and trying some new practices. In the Gravity Formation Course, we go below the surface of our lives so we can notice and name our deepest desires in God's presence and discern how God is at work in those desires to lead us toward holistic flourishing, more transformation, more life, more joy, more love. We've trained hundreds of people from all over the world in this formation framework, and it has helped many to have a sense of God at work in their lives and learn to be more at home in God's love. If you'd like to learn more, go to gravitycommons.com/formation. Let's get back to the show. So, I don't know, Ben, you have reflections on how I framed that or any thoughts about how it's going?
I mean, it's I was just looking at the book here as you were talking about the dates, and it was published in 2023, so... And yes. his interviews go right up into the beginning of 2023.
Okay.
Anyway, I don't know how loud that is for you guys, but...
Oh, yeah, we can still hear that. We can still hear it.
I do think it's been really, really helpful for me and for a lot of the other folks who have been part of this book club. we've been going through it. How many weeks? When did we start this? Back in September?
That's a great question. I think we started September and we only have 2 weeks left.
Yeah. So 2 weeks left. I mean, by the time this airs, I think we'll be on our final week of this book anyway. But it's been so much fun to basically gather with like-minded people. You know, it's not, I mean, it's one of the virtues of this book club is it's not the kind of book, it's not sketchy, Christy. It's not the kind of book club where you have to sort of, I don't know, you can't be yourself. And so it's a lot of folks like us who are, yeah, wondering about these same things. But you know, we don't all bring sort of identical thoughts, obviously. I mean, right. Part of the reason you have a book club is I do think everybody needs to be at least committed to the same kind of dialogue that helps everybody show up authentically, you know, with their questions and with their reflections and their observations. But also, I think I've been really blessed by the diversity of perspectives that a lot of people have. So there's some people who grew up, you know, in fundamentalist churches and have done this kind of like deconstruction. They've done this leaving that, you know, they come with that perspective and have a lot of, helpful reflections from that perspective. We have other people who've never really been part of the evangelical church, but have joined our church or they're part of a church now that's sort of, you know, they know a lot of people who are... They know
Sorry,
a lot of people who
my
are,
phone's going crazy. I don't even know what happened.
Yeah. Yeah, this is it's the podcast of extraneous noise today.
So sorry.
No, it's totally fine, but it's an interesting listener. We don't have a podcast studio, you know, not like a special podcast.
It's like obviously. Real life, right?
We're here. Just living our lives, hitting
just
play,
living our lives and
recording
and
as we go,
talking. Yeah.
Well, then I'm. Okay, so anyway. So there's lots of different perspectives like given in this book club. And it sounds like maybe like religion-wise, there's lots of different perspective. Is there a lot of different perspective politically or not?
I think it depends on what you mean by that. I mean, just brass tacks, I doubt anybody voted for Trump in this book club.
Yeah. I guess it was kind of a leading question. I kind of asked that just because I want our listeners to kind of like there is diversity in maybe belief about the Bible, belief about different ways of living it out. But there is like a similarity in like what people think about MAGA and how that pushed and promoted their voting.
Yeah.
Is that fair?
Probably. Yeah, I think that's fair. I think it gets at, I mean, why that's the case, I think, is another interesting conversation. I think, you know, you hear a lot about like echo chambers and people being only hanging out with people who agree with them as part of the issue in today's Christian landscape, right?
It's polarization.
That creates, you know, very monocultures. People don't understand how to bear with difference anymore. And I think... You know, Ben and I are like Episcopal priests, but, you know, we talk to a lot of Baptists or non-denominational people on this podcast, and we're not getting into fights about infant baptism. You know what I'm saying? Like, so I think we model charity and diversity of ecclesial traditions and other things like this. But I also
think you do. I'm going to say you do. You do model that to
me. Thanks.
And to all of our listeners, I think.
Thanks, Christy. Well, we try, you know, we try. I mean, we try, but I think here's an example. If we had a person on this show who was adamantly against women being pastors and women preaching, and we gave them a platform to say things that have been used to hurt women. I don't celebrate that kind of difference.
Right.
And it would be really cruel of me to ask you to be a part of that, Christy. You would pay a, like I may disagree with him, but I don't carry in my body wounds of those words, of those positions, of those relationships, of that energy that denies my vocational calling.
Yeah.
And so there's a difference then that I think we have to discern when it comes to book clubs, right? Or podcast guests, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And I think that there are people in our commons community for whom MAGA represents a real existential threat.
Yeah.
Or there's real relational rupture with, you know, intimate partners, with children, with parents who they've had to put like boundaries up because of harmful things that have been said or harmful things that have been done. And it just, I think there's certain, there's certain differences that if we try to abide them or pretend like they're not as different as they are, yeah. or don't matter, that the people with the least amount of power usually pay for that.
Yep. Yeah. Okay. I know that we are going to do a podcast on navigating difficult relationships coming up too. Mm. So some of this is like in line, I think, with probably what I want to talk about in that podcast. But I'm curious to hear, just in reality, I saw a video clip promoting MAGA in this past week that took my breath away and instantly made me cry. Like,
oh my gosh.
Like it was wild to me. Mm-hmm. And part of it was, I do think, just in all honesty, I'm pretty sheltered. I don't feel like people around me are racist and like say outlandish things in my presence, like very often. And so I think part of it, why it took my breath away and made me cry, was just, I was so shocked that somebody would say something. And in this case, they were saying something about somebody else. It was a very racist thing. I think I was shocked that it was even said, let alone like it was said about another person. And I was like, you can't talk about human beings like that. Like you just, you can't like, so I'm curious, like, as you read this book, were there things that kind of like, oh, wow, like that maybe took your breath away or that changed your perspective that made you think about things, in a healthier way? I don't know.
Yeah. That's interesting. That's a good question, Christy.
I'm asking that because my little tiny snippet, I was like, I don't know if I would want to talk about this like every week for an hour. Like, I think it would cause like my heart to, you know, heart rate to go up and for there to be bigger anxiety. And part of it is like, maybe I do need to talk about it because,
I think we all need different things, right?
Yeah.
So there's some of us who actually need to be with Christy as she recounts that because maybe we feel like we don't have access to how that bothers us, or maybe we feel like we're all alone when we see that, and we need somebody else to validate or verify this is offensive and scandalous, or this isn't right. I'm surrounded by people who say I'm overreacting or I'm too sensitive, or
right.
So we all carry different needs in our different places. But I mean, you know, just to be clear, it really is, you know, Tim isn't just saying, it's not just reporting horrible stuff.
No, right.
And so part of it is like, Tim is exploring, you know, why did this happen and what do we do about it? And I think some of our most generative conversations in the book club have been, what do we think about Tim's diagnosis of why he thinks this happened? What do we want to commend about that? Or what do we want to corroborate about that personally? And then what questions do you have or what challenges do you want to make to that? Right.
Yeah.
Because the book, unlike, I don't know, there's a lot of books I read and I'm like, yeah, general, that's great. Yeah. General, it's bad. This book has like, there are so many things that I'm like, oh, this needed to be said. I'm so glad Tim's saying this. This is right on. And then there's so many moments where I'm like, how the heck could you say that? Where did you get that idea from? Oh, I wouldn't say it like that at all. Mm-hmm. And I just don't typically have a book where, with the perspective of the author, I'm like 50-50 in agreement and disagreement. It just doesn't typically happen to me.
Yeah.
So So that's one of the generative things that has come out of this book is the conversations around that.
Yeah. I would also say, Christy, in answer to your question, like, I think another one of the generative things, this has come from a lot of different places in my life, but one of them has definitely been in the book club where I think the question of like, what do we do about this? I feel like it's pretty clear to me, like how to think about it. You know what I mean? And like, I can preach about it. But then I've got relationships in my life where I'm a lot fuzzier. I'm like, I don't know what to do about that. You know what I mean? Like, and the book club has been really helpful. There's been a lot of helpful things said from other people about how to relate, to, for example, like family members who might be, you know, gung-ho MAGA supporters, like how to relate to them in a way that doesn't compromise your convictions, you know, about that, but also is as helpful as it can be to connect with them and actually reach them. Because there's a lot of like psychology that's been done, you know, that shows that attacking people head on with some of these beliefs, it just further entrenches them.
Right.
But there are ways to try to connect that kind of subvert the programming a little bit. And I found that really, really helpful for me just in my own life as I think about the relationships that I need to navigate, you know?
So it sounds to me like in the book club, it was the members of the book club that helped you have an imagination of what it looked like to interact with people in a loving way.
Yeah.
And not just shut them out, which is probably my MO of like, ooh, I'm not going to have that conversation. I'm not going to engage. I'm not going to have a relationship. Honestly, there are times where I'm like, let me just walk away. Mm-hmm. But like, what does it really look like to not like say something that you know is just going to like make it explode.
Yeah.
But also be faithful to who you are.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. And that, again, just is for my situation. And I think there is also, you know, in this group, we've tried to create an environment where, you know, not everybody needs to be on the same page. Like you said earlier, Matt, like we all need different things, you know? And so the relationships that I have are like, okay, I can bear this and I can, you know, I feel like I have some good strategies to kind of work through some of these issues or talk about these things, you know, with these people. But I do know that in other situations, you know, the situations are just a lot different and people have had to set really stark and heartbreaking boundaries, you know, just to be like, I can't do this right now.
Yeah.
You know? Anyway, and there's space for all of that, which I've been glad for.
Yeah. Yeah, one of the things that's emerged, Christy, just to answer your question here, is one of the things that Tim keeps coming back to over and over again is that there is simply a lack of discipleship that's happened in the white conservative church. And the answer to a lack of discipleship is discipleship. So MAGA is kind of this, you know, he frames it in a lot of different ways. One of the prominent ways it's framed is that MAGA is an idolatry of politics that eclipses somebody's hope in Jesus with the hope of a candidate like Donald Trump. And then the way you rectify that is you disciple people into a better understanding of who is Jesus and what are politics. And I guess on one level that has validity, meaning I do think that people make an idol out of people put too much hope in a person and then they ascribe to that person way more than they're able to accomplish and then speak in like fairly religious terms about that person, right? That,
yeah.
I think that's happened. And I do think it is, one way to describe it is a failure of discipleship. So yes, and one of the things that we keep returning to is how all of that is insufficient to deal with MAGA. Like, it's true, but it's not helpful enough to do anything about it. Like, you know, I became a Christian through like a campus ministry 25 years ago.
Yeah.
And for 25 years, I was in the white kind of evangelical church, and there wasn't a day that went by when I wasn't reminded of or seeking to emphasize discipleship. Mm-hmm. Like, that has just always been important to me, and it's always been reinforced in a lot of the white evangelical spaces I was in. And so you had like Nav Press, and you had Campus Crusade, and you had, you know, InterVarsity, and you had all these various parachurch ministries seeking to do discipleship. You had all these curriculums that were written for discipleship. You had all these Bible studies I was in, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So it's, if any religious group of people had focused on discipleship, it was the people who now comprise MAGA. And MAGA itself is its own form of discipleship. Like, it's its own form of formation that comes out of something. So, like, yeah. Discussing this, I think, is really helpful, because we want to, like, inhabit and create more healthy forms of Christian spirituality. But we have to understand, like, how did we get here? Like, you know. And it's not enough just to say, well, they're all idiots, or they're all sinners, or there's a collective psychosis. You know, it's just not enough to say that. At least for me, that's not helpful, and it's not satisfying.
Yeah.
And now, a word from a sponsor.
Holiday magic is in the air at iFly Indoor Skydiving. Imagine unwrapping the experience of flight. iFly is the perfect unique gift for anyone who wants to turn their dream of flying into a joyful reality. It's unforgettable fun for all ages. Save over 35% with iFly's limited-time holiday gift voucher flight packages. Turn dreams into unforgettable moments with the gift of flight. Go to iFlyWorld.com to purchase your holiday gift vouchers. That's iFlyWorld.com.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the story of the one who, as a maintenance specialist for a historic high-rise, knows that vintage charm historically needs constant attention. Which is why, when it's time to upgrade turn-of-the-century mechanicals, they turn to Grainger. With easy access to a million-plus products and the scale to deliver when and where you need them, the right tools and supplies are never far away. So the one can keep that vintage building running like new. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, let's get back into our conversation.
Yeah, I think that those have been some of the more helpful discussions for me as well, is to kind of recognize, I think some of the assumptions embedded in this book are assumptions about what discipleship is. And I would characterize it as like theological education. It's idea focused. You know, it's like, we have to get people the right ideas so that when they are confronted with the wrong ideas, they know, oh, this goes against all the theology that I was taught. And so I cannot support it, you know, like that they'll know that. But I think one of the failures of that is just like, that's not how people make decisions, actually, you know? And yes. What MAGA has managed to do is hijack all of that stuff and work on a subterranean level. And that's the level at which I think it gets really interesting for me in terms of a discussion about spiritual formation, because essentially what's happening is there's a manipulation happening of people's amygdalas and their fear response and all that kind of thing. But the response to that can't be manipulation. You know what I mean? Like, like part of, you know, part of the theology we believe is like, that's not how to form people in Christlikeness, is to manipulate them into it through fear. And so there has to be a different answer, and it's insufficient to just say, get people the right ideas and they'll be okay. But it's also, you know, you have to operate on that deeper level or learn how to speak to those deeper fears that people are feeling. And instead of manipulating them and hijacking them, that's the place, is to connect and say, okay, well, here's how the hope of the gospel affects you in that place. And here's how, you know, the community of disciples lives out their baptismal vows together. And, you know, all of that kind of thing is fascinating for me to think about, because it has been one of the, like big, I guess, just like sadnesses of my life, is to see so many people who, you know, taught me all this stuff about who Jesus is and how wonderful the gospel is, like just to seemingly just throw it to the side, you know, as soon as their fear response gets hijacked. So it's like, I really want to know, like, how do we disciple people? How do we form them to be people who can actually resist these, like, the worst aspects of the way these forces are seeking to manipulate us?
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. And so those conversations, Christy, have been really generative for me. Like, how do we, looking at the system as a whole. Mm-hmm. So one of the ways that Tim Alberta talks about it is, MAGA is this thing from outside of his tradition that had like a poltergeist that has like in that has captured these minds and hearts of people he loves and taken them hostage, and we got to figure out a way to get them back. Mm-hmm. And I understand that, because in 2016 I felt that way.
Yeah.
But in 2024, Matt, I don't see this as something that's come from the outside to kidnap people. I see it as something that was on the inside the whole time and evolved and grew and took over. So I see.
Yeah.
So I think in 2016, I was like Tim Alberta. I saw the discontinuity only. Mm-hmm. And now in 2024, I see discontinuity and continuity.
Yes.
And it's being able to, because I don't want to use the same tools that created the conditions for the problem to exist to solve the problem.
Right. Right.
I don't want to use the same tools.
Yeah. We can't just use more of them.
Yeah. Use okay, more of the same
more
tools.
Discipleship.
Yeah. Yeah.
In the way we've done it.
Yeah. 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 You know, so for instance, what that means is, like, you know, I think in the last 8 to 10 years, Christy, we've had conversations about, like, how culture is kind of waking up and gaining language to name abuse better.
Right.
Right. So that's gaslighting, or that's Darvo, or you just powered up over me, or, you know, these qualities are qualities of a narcissist, right? Or you're shutting me down, or you're silencing me, right? Like, we have a more sophisticated lexicon to name all the ways that that authoritarian harm happens in relationships and in organizations. And that's been like a awakening thing, you know?
Yeah.
Like Christy, you and I have had conversations about things that's happened to both of us, where we narrated it differently 10 years ago than we do now.
Yeah, that's right.
And it was in the process of the culture waking up, we gained language to get better access to, why does this feel so bad to me?
Yeah.
You know? And so things we just tolerated or sort of tried to ignore became things we couldn't ignore anymore and we could no longer tolerate. Mm-hmm. Right? That's an example of kind of what I'm talking about. Like, the abusive authoritarian behavior, there are certain environments where it is just not tolerated. Like, And there's certain culture where you just, it would be so transgressive to do that, right? But then there's other environments shaped by like patriarchy and hierarchy and all that kind of stuff, where it's not only tolerated, it's celebrated.
Right.
And so if, this is just an example, like one artifact, if we try to deal with abuse without challenging the patriarchal hierarchical system, we will just use tools of abuse to try to solve abuse. But we have to reckon with that misformed idea of power and what it's for and what our body's for and how do we, what is authority and how do I embody it and employ it and what does it mean to lead somebody and what's, you know, all these questions that are like baked into that. We have to reckon with those things or else, I mean, listener, how many religious environments have you been in where you've experienced harm or abuse and you know the people in that environment didn't want anyone to experience harm or abuse? You know, it was just like, it was inevitable, bound to happen because of certain mm-hmm. commitments or postures or ways of being.
Yeah.
That unless we reckon with those things, we will reproduce that.
Mm-hmm. Right. This is where I think within Christianity, certainly within religion, like people talk about motive and they're like, but they didn't mean to. Their heart was good. Their mm-hmm. motive was good. And we don't get to judge heart, right? I mean, Jesus is really clear about that in the Gospels. We don't get to judge that. We can judge the words and the actions, right? Yeah. That's the only thing that we can do. But the reality is, right, if I'm driving down the road and I hit somebody, a pedestrian, and I killed them, and I did not mean to do that, mm-hmm. I'm still responsible. Even if my motive was, like, I didn't mean to do that, mm-hmm. I still have to take responsibility of what I did.
Yes.
And I think this is within Christianity and within religion. We want to, like, uplift motive and be like, no, motive is okay. Like if they had a pure motive or mm-hmm. a good motive, like then it doesn't matter what they did or what they said or what, you know, whatever. And the reality is it needs to be pointed out.
Yeah.
And that is really hard, I think. And there needs to be responsibility taken for actions and words.
Yeah. And maybe just to wrap this up. I mean, that was that reading, that year of reading for the sake of others.
Yeah.
I read a lot of, again, voices that weren't like me, talking to people who were like me, saying things that I probably would not have dealt well with had they been said directly to me.
Yeah.
I probably would have got defensive, dismissive, angry, petulant, right? Shut down, powered up. But because I was able, there was distance. I was reading a book, watching a black woman deal with being a black woman in mostly white male spaces and empathizing with her experience and then being able to slowly reckon with how I uncritically, unconsciously, unintentionally embody a lot of the things that harm her. And over time, I was able to just allow that thought to sit with me and realize it's not going to kill me to be wrong. It's not going to kill me for her to be right. It's not going to crush me if what she's saying is true, not just of these guys, but also of me. And I can pivot from explaining myself or justifying myself or bright-siding what, and I can just like begin to deal with it. And so I guess just to bring it back to like why a book club, like I was able to, when I said it changed my life, I was able to learn things in a non-threatening way that I am so glad I learned. And I'm still learning things, but I'm so glad I know that now, right? I'm so glad I know that now. And the book club helped me do that in a way that was less intense, less threatening, mm-hmm. less personal than maybe I would have had to learn it the hard way. So, listener, I don't know, if you're looking for community, you like to read books, like to listen to books, audiobooks are great. You're listening to a podcast, so you like to listen to things. Or maybe you lost a bet and you're listening to this podcast because you know.
That'd be a weird thing. If you lose, yeah. You have to listen to
the Gravity Commons podcast.
I hope there's someone out there like that. Please tell us who you are.
Hey, if that's you, we see you, listener.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Consider joining our book club. Help us pick the next book. We're gonna read through Thanksgiving, and then we're gonna take a little break for the holiday, St. Nicholas Day, and then also Christmas. And then in the new year, we're gonna pick a new book, and there's several books we're picking from. Let the community choose, and then we'll jump into that. So if you're interested, sometimes I do this, and I think AI takes care of it. There's going to be a link in the show notes. AI will arrange for there to be a link in the show notes so that you can learn more about the book club, or you can just reach out to podcast@gravity and ask, hey, I want to know more about the book club. Help me join it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, also, we do have a webpage too, where an intelligence that's not artificial has created this page. We don't know what it is, but we're pretty sure it's not artificial. No, if you go to gravitycommons.com/bookclub, there's information there. And basically, you can just get on an email list that will make sure that you get information about the next book club when we are going to start it. And who knows, maybe we'll put some other information on there too. If you're not on our email list, we're also going to be announcing it there. You can get on our email list by going to our website. Just make sure that we can touch base, and that way you'll be in the loop and you can join us.
Yeah. And this is good. Good little convo today. I really appreciate both of you. In many ways, the podcast is kind of like a live book club where we get to sometimes just learn together and from each other. Yeah. So I appreciate the role this has in my life.
Yeah. Me too.
Back at ya.
All right. Well, until next week.
Peace friends. Mm-hmm. Still love you.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Gravity Podcast. If you're finding it helpful, please tell your friends about it. Word of mouth is the best advertising. Ratings and reviews online also help others find the podcast, and don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. To join discussions about the podcast and lots more, join us in the Gravity community. It's free to join, and you can connect there with other listeners to the podcast to talk about faith and spirituality and whatever else comes up. To join, go to gravitycommons.com/community. The Gravity Podcast is produced by Ben Sternke and Matt Tebbe. Aaron Sternke edits and mixes the podcast. You can check out his mixing, engineering, and production work at aaronsternke.com. Finally, we would love to hear from you. To record a question or comment for us, you can go to gravitycommons.com/message and click the Start Recording button. You can also email us at podcast@gravitycommons.com. Catch you next time.
Holiday magic is in the air at iFly Indoor Skydiving. Imagine unwrapping the experience of flight. iFly is the perfect unique gift for anyone who wants to turn their dream of flying into a joyful reality. It's unforgettable fun for all ages. Save over 35% with iFly's limited time holiday gift voucher flight packages. Turn dreams into unforgettable moments with the gift of flight. Go to iFlyWorld.com to purchase your holiday gift vouchers. That's iFlyWorld.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.